Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike. Well, good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land. I guess I'll talk first today because Steven's not here. Steven is off on a well-deserved vacation. Actually, he's traveling home today, so he couldn't be here with us to record. So I brought in my good friend Theron Lowry to join us today. Welcome, Theron. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. I'm doing great, Mike. This is a pretty interesting episode without Steven. But then again, for the most part, he's no way home right about now. So that's probably why.
That was good. I like that. No way home. Let's tie it back to Spider-Man. Awesome. Well, today we're not going to be talking about Spider-Man, are we?
No, sir. We're going to be talking about the Marvel movie Black Widow.
Black Widow. Yep. I watched Black Widow on Disney Plus, actually. So I kind of went back on my need to see it in the movie theaters thing. But I also decided, well, it's available to me on Disney Plus. This gives me a chance to watch it a couple times before we do a review on it. So I went ahead and watched it at home. Theron, how'd you watch it?
I went to a classic theater. So I went old school with this one. I took a chance and I said that, you know what? I'm a big Marvel fan. I'm going to support Black Widow in the theaters. It's been a long time. We waited a year for this thing. So it has to be good, right? It has to be good.
I thought it was good. I liked it. I've seen some kind of bad reviews on it, and I really don't get the bad reviews. I thought it was a good movie. I thought there was a lot of good action to it. I liked the Black Widow character, so you know, I had no problem with that. There was one character I had a little bit of issue with, but other than that, I thought it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it. So how do we want to start this? Steven and I normally give it a review. We give it a number review in the beginning. And then we kind of go through the movie a little bit and discuss our likes and dislikes of the film. And then at the end, we see if our numbers stayed the same. So I'll let you go first. What would you give this film?
We're doing our batarangs, or we're doing our reactors.
What is her weapon? She's got a name for her weapon, doesn't she?
It's like a stingray or shocker or something in that. And it's not like shockers.
Oh my gosh.
But it's,
I know she has a specific name. They have a specific name for hers. Let's see. Black Widow. I should have done this before the show.
It's all good. Her arm shock gauntlet. Yeah, those. I think that's what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a shock gauntlet. That's
Widow's Bite.
That nature.
Widow's Bite. Widow's Bite. So yeah. We'll give it Widow's Bites.
A Widow's Bite. Out of 5 or out of 10?
5.
Out of 5? I'll give this one, I give it the 3 out of 5 on this one.
Okay. Okay. I think I'll go with a 3.5. Again, no movie's perfect. But I
get it.
I enjoyed this film. I thought it was good. I really liked it. So, okay. The only reason I would say 3.5, again, I said there was one character that I was a little iffy on. And it's kind of the whole weight that we had for this film. You know, this film should have taken place a few years ago.
Yes, it definitely should have taken place around, I would say, Winter. No, let me take it. Yeah, around Winter Soldier type ordeal. It should have taken place right when we had Civil War. I'd say definitely before Endgame and Infinity War.
Right.
For sure. No, no, I'm sorry. Infinity War and Endgame. It should have taken place before that. It would have so much better, had a much better appeal, and so the audience on her standalone movie.
Right. I'd been wanting a Black Widow movie for quite a while, so it's like, well, why would you wait on this film? I just don't understand why they would have waited on it. You know,
they make more money off of the Avengers than they would off of, I mean, versus how they were just off the two main folks they were focusing on, which was Captain America and Tony Stark.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I mean, I think she's got a big following, you know. You don't think if they would have released this like 3 years ago, they wouldn't have gotten the numbers?
No. You know what she'd be competing against if that was the case? Wonder Woman.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Wonder Woman.
I mean, that would have been and that was during you know, a particular time where remember it was like, oh well, you know, it was a push towards not really much of a, I don't want to say like a woman's agenda or whatnot, but then again, they wanted to have more predominant roles as far as seeing females, superhero females in those leading roles and things like that. If you notice the tone of that movie and how that was a little bit represented it in Infinity War, that end shot that
right.
where all of them start walking together and everything,
right.
and
yeah.
how the similarity was
sure.
with that. Yeah, so that was pretty much the cadence that was pretty much you saw throughout that whole entire movie. Well, up to a certain point in Black Widow, it was just like, oh, okay, I can tell when they made this movie and how it was representative of said time before we got Infinity War and Endgame.
Well, I mean, I think if you're wanting a female representative film, I think that this was well done female represented film, because pretty much it was all based
sure.
on the widows. So, because you not only had Black Widow and what is her sister's name?
Elena.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you had those two as the main characters, but you had all the widows that were in it. So it was mm-hmm. pretty female centric, you know.
Yes.
I mean, it was female centric, but I also felt that it was very family centric too. Family values was very core part of this film. I felt anyway.
Fake family values, yeah.
Fake family.
Like fake family matters, man. I'm telling you, it was there, and they established that. You know, it wasn't real, but it was real.
Hey, look, an adoptive family is still a family. It doesn't matter.
Even though that they're all Russian spies and they work for their sleeper cells? Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right.
They make it work. They make it work.
In that sense, all right, yes, I'm not advocating Russian sleeper cell spies in the least.
As the ideal American family.
Right, as the ideal American family. But I felt that it did have some core family values still. You know, okay, they weren't the best mother and father in the world.
Elena made that point very, very obvious when he was like, oh, well, you know, you must be on your menstrual at this particular point. And
oh,
she made
gosh.
That point very, very obvious that,
No.
You literally gave us up, and then they did things to us, and we had a procedure where it was all ripped out.
Right.
I was like, dang.
You don't have to get so clinically yeah. dirty, or I forget what he said.
Yeah.
Clinically something.
You're so clinical about it. I thought that was pretty funny.
That was a good line. I enjoyed it. Actually, I liked him a lot. He was fun. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Lexi.
Yeah, Lexi. I like that. Lexi was great. And plus I like him in Stranger Things too, as Captain Harper, or he's the cop in Stranger Things. So I like him as an actor. I think he's good.
He's in a lot of good movies, a lot of period pieces, movies and things of that nature. He is, he's very well-rounded, just like who else would I want to say that is in the same? Well, I mean, be honest with you. I mean, he's like the Denzel Washington, you know, of just being so multi-talented in different movies you wouldn't expect him to see him in and things like that. And that it's just like he made his role. Right. I would say he's more like a Lawrence Fishburne type of deal, but we already got Samuel Jackson in the Marvel.
Right.
So, well, actually, both of them are in there now, so it don't even make a difference.
Wait a minute. Lawrence Fishburne's in the Marvel universe?
Yeah, he was the professor in Wasp. He was the one that was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
He was the doctor that was treating Ghost. Yeah. He was trying to stabilize her.
That's right. Because
she was having so much pain and everything. So, yeah, they're both in there, man. So, nice. I mean, it doesn't matter if we can mix up the two. One is a professor / you know, doctor towards somebody that's stuck in the quantum realm or in between the quantum realm. And Samuel Jackson, he's just indestructible. I don't even know he's Lava Creek.
Did you see the meme that I shared the other day? With Spider-Man, it said, are we going to, it had Spider-Man, and then it had Nick Fury, Sam Jackson, Nick Fury, and it said, are we going to finally recognize the fact that Spider-Man's a huge fan of Star Wars and still hasn't recognized that Nick Fury is in Star Wars?
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. He was Mace Windu.
Yes.
I was thinking to myself, that should have been like, you know, one of those things. Cause he mentioned the AAs. But I think that was just the first movies that he kept referring to. Tom Holland's Spider-Man was referring to the walkers from the,
episode Empire Strikes 4 or 5. Back.
Yeah. From Empire Strikes Back. That's exactly right. So I thought that was pretty funny.
I don't know if Spider-Man has actually encountered Nick Fury, really. I don't think they've come.
Yeah, he has. Okay, so that ties into not No Way Home. Homecoming. What is it? The second one. That's when Nick Fury had came to approach him and said that he needed to step up
to his part,
but that wasn't technically Nick Fury. Spoiler alert, by the way, if you ever seen
it
that
was
one.
It was
the Kree version.
Right.
Scroll version. I'm sorry, not Kree, but Scroll. I'm sorry.
But
mixed up.
But Spider-Man doesn't know that. He doesn't know that it wasn't actually Nick Fury. So to him, he was talking to Nick Fury. So, yeah, I think it'd be hilarious in one of the future films if we had Spidey go, just look at him and go, you know, you remind me of someone. kind of like A-Team when in the opening credits of the A-Team, you see Face at Universal Studios and a Cylon comes walking by him and Face raises his finger like, I know you from somewhere. And then he shakes his head. No. Because Face was in the original Battlestar Galactica.
Nice.
So they should do something very similar to that. I think it would be hilarious. But anyway, we're not talking about Spidey and Nick Fury.
Maybe in No Way Home.
Yeah, who knows?
That's true. Let's get back to... Black Widow, we talked about, we were on the topic of Alexei's character and the faux family dynamic. So, okay, let's start off with the, what would be, okay, Mike, let's go back to your half a point. So you said 3.5. What will be the half point that you would say that sells you more?
So,
and then sold me.
Let's get into this. Taskmaster. Okay. I will be honest. I didn't really know anything about Taskmaster until this film. And then I started watching some variant episodes on Taskmaster. And I'm going, wow, this is an awesome character. I like this character a lot. And you know, I don't want to play into any kind of politics or, you know, that kind of stuff really, but I don't really care for the idea that they race swap Taskmaster and they kind of changed the character just to fit the daughter of Dracoff. Okay. Because Taskmaster is not related to Dracoff in any way, shape, or form in the comics at all. He's his own man. He is a man, not a woman. Which I found that interesting too. In my research on Taskmaster, I found out his name is it Tony or Anthony or something like that. I thought I had that written down. I guess I didn't. But her name is Antonia, and I think his name is actually Anthony. So I thought that was funny that they actually literally even changed his name to, you know, it matched, but it was the female version of his own name.
See, I thought that was pretty interesting because personally, you know, I've always recognized Taskmaster as a he. Actually, Taskmaster reminds me so much of Slade Wilson's character, which is actually that was the jumping off point to me. And also, I got a little bit of I was like, wait a minute, this character, he moves, seem, and sound just like the Winter Soldier. If you look at some of the shot for shots, a lot of what they did in Black Widow was from Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And you know how Winter Soldier came on the scene? Same way how Taskmaster came on the scene. You know, all mysterious. He came with that big explosion and everything in that nature. And he just kind of like, you know, he kind of shocked Black Widow's character as far as her mimicking her abilities. That's
right.
One of his main focus is to mimic other fighting styles and be able to counter them. He's really big on countering. And I thought that was, he's just a really good tactician when it comes to fighting. And that's why I was getting a little bit of like Winter Soldier vibes. I was really getting a lot of Slade Wilson vibes from Deathstroke. And I was like, oh man, this character is going to be great. All of a sudden, they didn't put him in the movie. I'm sorry. They didn't put her in the movie as much as you would like. What they led with in the trailers. I was like, oh, well, she got the bow and arrow. She has a shield. She has like a walking tank. And it was that's your half right there. Your 2.5 minutes of this character buildup and of expecting a showing of this person. And it's just like, you got this big reveal and all of a sudden it's just like, it was a big letdown, to be honest with you. Especially the fight between Taskmaster and Red Guardian. I was really getting annoyed with the cutaways on that one. They didn't really show anything.
Yeah, I agree. The Taskmaster was underused. I wish they would have went closer to the Marvel comic book edition of Taskmaster. But I kind of get it. They changed it so it would fit the story of Dragoff. I get that. I'm not fond of it, you know. If you're going to bring a character of that caliber in, at least keep it closer to the comic book. And the other thing is, Taskmaster in the comic books, he didn't just like, see the way they did it in the film. She watches film footage of all the different, heroes and learns the moves that way. Taskmaster can actually learn the moves automatically by seeing
as he's fighting.
Right. Not just, I'm going to watch this footage of them, but he literally learns it. They have a name for it. It's kind of like a muscle memory thing, or I forget exactly what they called it, but they have a name for it in the Marvel Universe, which I thought that was really interesting, and I didn't feel it was portrayed well in the film, you know? So I was like, that's something that they could have done better. But again, I think they toned her down in the film because she's kind of the, you know, when you're playing a video game and you got that one character you got to get through to get to the boss. Well, she's kind of like that character you got to get through to get to the boss, in my opinion, because Dragoff is actually the boss. So
Yes, I was very surprised at that. And also, just on that particular note, as far as like muscle memory and counting, Batman has the same ability. That's the reason why he's really, that's the reason why his martial arts skills are as top tier as they are, because he's able to counter a lot. He has good muscle memory to fight back against people if he's in a group setting. And they portray that very well. And a lot of what's that in the Court of Owls when he was fighting against them, even though he got, you know, pretty brutally messed up. But for the most part,
Batman can't do what Taskmaster can do. Taskmaster can actually completely replicate their moves. Like, for instance, when you see Black Widow come down and do her fighting pose, which I thought was hilarious, by the way, when Yelena was calling her out for her fighting poses and calling her a poser and everything, that was hilarious. I love that. But when she comes down and does her pose, quote unquote, Taskmaster does the exact same thing. It's like mirrored, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. But Taskmaster didn't learn it in that instance. Taskmaster learned it because she watched footage, where in the comic book, Taskmaster would have learned it right in that second, you know?
Right.
And I don't know. I guess that's just me being a comic book geek. I don't know.
No, that's how it is. And they did borrow some aspects from the comics to an extent. I don't know. They did borrow some aspects from the comics to an extent. But then again, they changed it up for the films to fit a particular narrative, which was, you know, it was throughout the film. Right. Got a little bit of a Frozen vibe. I got a little bit of Wonder Woman vibe. I got a little bit of we're all in this together type ordeal. One, you know, let's lift everybody up type ordeal. This guy Dracoff, who is this? I mean, in a sense, he's a trafficker.
That's good. I didn't think about that.
So he is a trafficker of women, and he basically, you know, take them, convert them, mind control them, manipulate them, and then bend them to his will. So therefore, he can control them. That was pretty much the narrative of. I mean, if you look at Winter Soldier was the same way. But then again, they took like ex ops from military ops and stuff like that, injected him with the super serum and everything, and then they bend it in the way. The only perfect version that they got out of that was Winter Soldier.
Right.
Okay. The only perfect version that Dracoff got was Taskmaster. And I thought I was like, deja vu here, or is this, they kind of regurgitating these movies at a certain point.
You know, you bring up a good point about comparing him to a trafficker. I didn't even think about that in the film. And yeah, that adds a different element to the film that I like, because, you know, they're taking down somebody who is really evil in that sense. And he did say that he went and found all of the, how do you say it, unwanted, thrown out individual females.
Yeah.
You know, and he turned them into killers, basically.
Turned them into widows.
Right.
That's literally what he did. He controlled everything, and he said he could take out corporations, countries, dynamics. Yep. It's the same thing. It was no different from like the Winter Soldier vibe that, you know, he goes in, or Killmonger type ordeal. He can go in and destroy a whole in their country just by, taking out the main figureheads. It was pretty crazy.
Right.
And he has spies all over, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yep. And I liked how he wanted Widow, Black Widow, Natasha. He actually wanted her to be a sleeper cell within the Avengers, is what his plan was, his ultimate plan was, which I thought that was interesting too.
It was a difference between her training and manipulation versus the ones that were at her, like how Yelena was. Yelena was chemically controlled, chemically induced to be controlled, and what's it, mind control and everything of that nature, versus Black Widow, which was they were more beaten, more psychologically fitted, psychologically damaged in order to be sleeper cells and and to be spy agents and stuff like that. So at one point or another, I guess Natasha retained her heart in a sense, or her consciousness, to not be controlled. And, and that's how she was trying to find a way out. That's how she got out. She wasn't able to be fully manipulated in that sense.
Now that's something they didn't, I felt they weren't really clear on in the film. And Brenda even asked me last night when we were rewatching it, she's like, now, wait a minute, how come Natasha and Yelena, how come they're not under the same mind control that the rest of the widows are? And they never really explain how Black Widow, because obviously Black Widow is still under somewhat of the control, because she can't attack Dragoff. She's still under
pheromones.
Because of the pheromones. She's still under his control in that way, and so is Yelena, and even their mother. Their mother is still under that exact same control. So, but they don't really explain how the three of them still kind of had their own free will and could do what they wanted, you know, where the other widows didn't seem to have that, you know, because like when they take the one widow down and Natasha's like, you know, let me help you. And she starts, the other widow starts saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And then boom, she, you know, Dragoff does on the computer that, you know, end, stop, death, whatever, you know, whatever.
Terminate.
Yeah, terminate. That's I picked every word I could except for terminate. but he terminates her, and she has no choice. She's got to follow through it. But obviously, Natasha and Yelena, they're not like that. They've broken that. So how did they get out of that mind control?
Oh, okay. So this was Dragoff did his monologuing at the very end, how he was basically explaining his whole entire plan, his whole entire organization and structure to
like
Natasha
every bad guy in every movie ever.
I know, like he was like explaining everything. Here's the ring that I have in order to scan the computer. This is the key to control everybody. I was like, no, shut up. Like, what are you doing? She is a spy. This is her job. He's not going to control her. But the thing about it was, I'm sorry. So there was a time where you had the old widows and then you have the new widows.
Okay.
And they were placed in different programs. They kind of established that vaguely in the movie. Well, I'm sorry, a little bit movie where they said Natasha went to a different red room than Yelena was given that same red room experience. Over time, those old widows, they broke their mind control. So therefore, those are the ones who escaped. Like her mother, like the lady that was tracked down and she bust the vial open in Elena's face. She's a old widow.
Right. Okay.
And Dragoff was explaining, he was like, yeah, you guys were, you know, tormented to a way where it wasn't, you know, I needed to have much better control. So therefore, that's why that's why they were subjugated to that more chemically induced psychological control versus the the chemical element versus just the psychological with Natasha. And then she did so many things, I guess, to try to redeem herself, because I don't know if you noticed, when she blew up that building with Dragoff's daughter, she felt a certain kind of way. So she knew what she was doing was wrong, but she felt through with the mission.
Okay.
Unlike Elaine characters, which is, you know, a walking, like all of them are just a walking tank unless they get into some type of traumatic injury or like, you know, some type of, they were like mortally damaged. And then they retain some type of consciousness to say that, oh, well, I don't want to, don't do this. I have no control of my body type or deal.
Right.
Natasha didn't have control of her mind. That's a different Elena and Natasha. Natasha didn't have a control of her mind. Unlike how, I'm sorry, over her body versus how Natasha had more control over her mind. And she has the opportunity to press, you know, stop whatever she was doing, or, you know, if she felt like it was wrong, she wasn't going to do it.
So Natasha's training happened before, all of her mother's, because her mother's programming was implemented in Yelena. Because like when they go to meet up with, and I forget what the mother's name is.
It's start with an M. I can't. it's right off the top of my head. You can probably Google it real quick. Because they refer to Elena as an infant, put her in an infant program. She wasn't old enough to go through that psychological transformation. Like how Tasha, she was already older, so therefore she was considered one of the older. That's why she was the older widow aspect or subjugation towards that.
Yeah, the mother's name is Melina. Melina.
Yeah, Melina. Yeah, exactly. From like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, okay. There we go. That's a good comparison. That works.
I think she was in a Mortal Kombat, if I'm not mistaken.
Was she really?
Melina? I mean, I know Melina's character is in Mortal Kombat. I'm trying to think of the lady who played.
Oh, okay. 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 All right.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, so when we meet up with her and in the little farm and everything with the pig, that's when we see Melina's programming to where she could stop the pig from breathing. That was crazy. That was something else. And then I love that she named the pig after Lexi.
Okay, so let's talk about, let's just jump back a little bit into Alexi's character. Now, you know he was the Captain America version for the Soviet Union, right?
Right, yeah.
And that's, did you like his character?
Yeah.
As far as how they tried to portray him in a movie?
I liked him. I liked him because I liked how he was always, he was so just focused on Captain America. Everything was about him and Captain America, you know. And I thought that was hilarious. I liked it. I like that.
Does he talk about me?
Yeah, exactly. It was almost like an ex-girlfriend or something, or a guy and a girl break up and then the guy's like, "Does she ever talk about me?"
Yeah, to the friend and everything.
Right.
Yeah, I got
it. I thought that was hilarious. I liked that. I thought it was good. I liked his character. Now, I did a little research on him, too, and I did find out that the comic version of him does not have the super strength and everything that Cap has, because he never had a super serum. And they don't really explain how he has superpowers. So I guess they're just expecting us as an audience to assume that he had a Russian version of the super serum that Cap had. At least that's my take on it.
Yeah, I think in the movie they were pretty much saying, "Oh no, we're spies. We're going to," because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Hydra was testing out over in the Soviet and also in America at one point. It was like they had scientists all over, so they had variations of said super serum, and they had certain programs that was trying to, you know, perfect said drug.
Right.
And everything in that nature. So I think he probably has some type of form of it. But then again, it kind of goes back to Russian propaganda.
Okay. We're back. Sorry about that. I'm having some computer. Well, I think it's internet issues again. I know I had that a couple episodes too, and a couple episodes back here. So we tried something, getting out of the meeting, come back in, and hopefully that cleared things up. So where were we, Theron? We were talking about Alexi.
It's a character comparison to Captain America, and then also how he was portrayed in the movie versus the comics.
Right, right. Now, I didn't know a lot about Alexi to begin with. I was new to this coming into him. Again, I enjoyed what I saw in the film. I liked him. But I also like that actor. I think he's a good actor. So I thought he did a good job. But as far as comparing him to the comic book, I don't know. How does he compare to the comic book? You being the bigger Marvel fan, did you enjoy him in the film, or do you think they should have changed something to make it closer to the comic book? What was your take on that?
It was a little bit different from the comics. He didn't have his shield like how he have in a comic and stuff like that. He has a shield very similar to Captain America, but obviously it's of the Soviet, color scheme, the red, gold, white, and all that crap like that. So, and then also he kept picking up Taskmaster's shield, which I thought he was going to be able to fight with in the movie, and he didn't even do anything. Right. And it was just like, you know, he's equivalent to what you consider to be, you know, like a Cap, you know, doppelganger. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, he was underwhelmed. I mean, he was underserved as far as his ability to go head to head with a foe. And I think the reason why the movie execs did that is because they didn't really want to shy away from Natasha's character as Black Widow. It was centric around Black Widow, so it's going to always stay around Black Widow, even though you have all these other good characters in the movie. You don't want to make them seem as important as her. She's the main focus, right? Like the mom. I love the mom character, to be honest with you. I love Alexi's character, to be honest with you. I love Elena's character.
Oh yes. What? I'm looking forward to what we'd have to come in the future with Yelena too. I think we'll get to that closer to the end of the podcast, and we'll jump mm-hmm. into that. But I really like the mom too. I did have a moment where I didn't think I was going to like the mom, because, you know, I thought she turned on them, because mm-hmm. we have that moment where they come into the house, they shoot him with all the darts, all the tranquilizer darts. That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And they take all of them down, and the next thing you know, they're flying to the Red Room. And mm-hmm. and at that moment, that's when I'm thinking, oh crap, she just turned on them, you know. Which, I mean, it was a good spy moment.
Yeah.
Because we have that happen in spy movies all the time, where, you know, the one person you think is on one side, and then it turns out they're on the other. But then we got another twist, and it was actually Black Widow. It was actually Natasha, not Melina, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah.
Mission Impossible type moment.
Yeah, right, with taking off the face mm-hmm. and everything. So I ended up liking that. But there was a moment I'm like, oh, don't make me hate the mom. Don't make me hate her.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty interesting how Dracov, he saw right through the mask. I thought that was
He sure did.
He saw right through him. He knew it. The guy was really, to be honest with you, he was a really bad guy. Like, what he did and what he was doing and how he did things, he had no remorse. He had no sympathy, and he was just he wanted complete control, which is pretty much any bad guy, right? Since that's their main focus. Power, you know, begets more power. It's just like, it's never enough for them, and that was one of his main focus. So when he saw through a lot of the planning, he taunted them too. He was like, is that your big plan? He was basically going to break out. You're going to do this, you're going to do that. I've seen all this stuff coming a mile away. I'm the puppet master here. You can't trick me. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Of course, now since we watched Loki, we find out he's not the puppet master, though.
we can do another episode.
Oh, we will.
Do another podcast on Loki. Oh, my goodness.
We're definitely going to do a Loki episode. Don't worry about it.
We got to get Steven on this one.
Right.
We got to get Steven on that. Right.
I want Steven in on the Loki episode. That's why I held off on it. So otherwise we probably would have been doing that this week, but.
Okay.
But, so go ahead.
Going back to some of the sequences from the mom, from Alexi's character, how do you think that the action scenes held up to you in the movie? Because it was non-stop action. It was like, it was like action, slow down, action, slow down, slow down, action, 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 right. Slow down, slow down. Did the pacing of the movie really fit the description of what was all happening?
I think it did. I liked it. I mean, we jumped into the movie with action, and like you said, it was just almost nonstop action. You know, we had a couple character moments. We had the family moment on the farm. Well, we had the family moment in the beginning with the girls, seeing them grow up, and then immediately we go into, they're on the run, they're trying to make it back to Russia. You know, so mm-hmm. so you got that action moment. Then we see them when they're older. We see the widows fighting to get the stuff, the serum or whatever, the I forget.
Yeah, trying to track down the old widow.
Right. You know, so we get that moment, and then we actually get Natasha and Yelena fighting, you know, which we get a little family moment in there, too. And then we go to breaking out Alexei from prison, which I thought was fantastic. I love that. I absolutely love the prison break scene. That was great. So you got a lot of action there. Then we get another family moment, and then we have the quote-unquote betrayal, and then get to the red room and more action. So yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good action-packed film.
Okay. I thought it was pretty interesting in the beginning. You do know that was S.H.I.E.L.D. that was chasing them, right?
Yes, yes.
The cop cars and anything in that nature?
Right.
That was S.H.I.E.L.D. that was chasing them in the beginning of the movie. And when they got caught and it was like, we only have so much time. I thought that was a good throwback because S.H.I.E.L.D. was like, they were on their trail. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, and we had the Budapest tie back too. Because when they're in Budapest and Yelena sees the holes in the wall and she makes this comment about bullets and she goes, those aren't bullets, those are arrows. So that ties it back to her and Hawkeye, you know. But we still didn't really get the story of what happened with Hawkeye and Black Widow in Budapest. We just know they were there together. Yeah. You know, so there's a bit of a mystery there.
And Hawkeye said that in the Avengers movie, he said, you and I, we remember Budapest totally different.
Right.
That was a good throwback line. That's what I was thinking too. It was like, well, Budapest. She called it. Sorry. She's Budapest.
Yeah, that's
Budapest.
Right. Yeah, they argued over how you pronounce it. I forgot about that.
I was like, and then that was pretty good. The when it comes to the action scenes, I get it. These are Marvel movies. They're going to throw a lot into like the production of how they do explosions, how they do all of the falling sequences and everything of that nature. I want to say, man, for her to not have any type of superpower, any type of like special ability or anything in that, or a suit that can like, you know, withstand shock absorption or nothing like, or anything like that. She should have died like 20 times in this movie, by the way.
Okay, now I've heard a critique on that. I heard a critique where another podcaster did not like the film at all, and he said the reason he didn't like it was the fact of how she died in Endgame. And he's like, well, if that's how she died in Endgame, she should have died like 20 times during her solo film. And I think that's a fair critique.
Even in the first, that was really one of my, it kind of is going to tie into the part where I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, how in the heck is she being tracked, and how are they always catching up to them and then surprising them out of nowhere? I thought that was nerve wracking to me because I'm like, wait a minute, she's in the middle of like, I don't know, Wisconsin, somewhere in the mountains. I can't think of where they actually put her. But at the same time, she's in the middle of the mountains. She needs to go get gas for a generator and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, Taskmaster pops up
shows
because
up.
She had that suit. Yeah, that suitcase with the vials. I'm like, is there a tracker in there? Like, what happened?
And then I wonder if there's a tracker. Well, isn't there a tracker in each of the widows, though? Because he can see
she took hers out.
Okay.
No, he took hers out. Remember, that's what Yelena did. That was the first thing she did when she broke my
throat. That's true. Yeah.
So I don't know what if the older widows have theirs in a different position, or is it somewhere surgically embedded into them where they can't get to it to pull it out to not be tracked. But if that was the case, then, I mean, she was already exposed. Dracov already knew where she was at. At the same time, it was like, was it important for her to pull out the tracker? I just thought that was pretty silly. But at the same time, going back to what I'm saying before, it's like Taskmaster kept showing up everywhere they were at.
Right.
And I'm like, how? And I'm thinking, like, is it the vials that has a tracker into it? Is it the little casing that it has a tracker into it? how does he know? I mean, how does she know where she's at? And then the scene where she got the car that was hit by a spotting arrow, that thing, it flips so many times. It flips so many times. I'm thinking to myself, that thing is going over the bridge. Oh my gosh, she just get out of there and walk away. I'm like, are you kidding me, right? Like, what is that truck made of? Like, I'm thinking that's the same type of vehicle that Nick Fury had,
right,
when he was being bombarded with all those guns. I'm like, oh, that kind of shield. But no, she's on the run with you.
Right. I will give you that, because I would put her almost in the same league with Batman. You know, Batman mm-hmm. has no superpowers either. But Batman is like, he is like the epitome of what a human body can do, you know, at its finest, at its most, you know, just extreme. Yeah. Peak performance. Right. And I would put her almost in the same category, but I think you're right. If Batman's in a car that flips over 20 times or whatever, that almost reminds me of Eddie Murphy. I was in a car, flipped over. I was in a bus and it flipped over 20 times. Sorry. Little Beverly Hills Cop there for you. But anyhow. But yeah, if they portray Batman in that, Batman actually, he'll get out and he'll be, you know, for the most part, fine. But they usually portray him as taking a little bit of bruising from it. And you're right. She just kind of, nothing happened.
Well, they did put in a, when her and Lena, they met up, she did take off her shirt and she did show bruising on her back.
That's true.
But you didn't see anything with the face, no right. cuts, no bruises, no blood. No.
You can't so bruise up the woman's face. You got to keep her pretty for the film.
But she can do it to herself and bang her head against the table to, you know, sever a nerve that basically
right yeah
off of any sense. She can hurt herself.
But see, she just had just but a little no trickle problem. Of blood. That was okay. So.
Oh my god! Get out of here with that. It just that. Point.
It's okay to bruise up a guy. You can't bruise up a woman. I mean, not on the face anyway.
Don't hit the face.
Right.
Don't hit anywhere else.
Right.
But the face. That's exactly.
Unless.
Even though they're mind control people.
Right. Unless it furthers the story, you know, unless it's meant that the woman has to look like she's been beat up, then it's okay to bruise up her face. But
I don't see when she's the hero,
when she's the hero, you can't bruise up a pretty face.
Oh, that's so stupid. I'm sorry. That was. I did not like that part. I didn't like that. You know, not even just the face, Mike. The face and the hair. The face and the hair. They literally came out of the salon after it looked like they came out of a car wreck salon. It was crazy how that was. There were like no damage. When Taskmaster blew up the BMW and it flipped so many times,
right,
went down a subway area. Oh my goodness. Like they both was in the car. You mean to tell me seatbelts protect all that? My seatbelt, if I get hit by a Toyota Prius, it is definitely gonna take some damage. I'm like, this is a car I want. I want that car because that car looked like it has good, you know, JP Power rating,
right,
when it comes to safety. I want that car.
I don't even remember what kind of car they had.
Yeah, it was a BMW. I was
okay.
That's the car I need. Forget a Tesla. I need that car. Car looked like
I'm having some more problems, Theron. What's going on here?
An explosion.
Hang on, Theron.
Like crazy. I definitely want.
Hang on.
Technical issues.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what's going on today. I got a bad internet connection. So, yeah. So you know what? Maybe all the Batmobiles are made from Beamers. Then maybe that's like the base model of a Batmobile.
Really? Okay. What about the scene where they were falling, when they literally fell out of the sky because their helicopter ran out of gas, and it And I'm like, wait a minute, is that real? No, they can't. And they just walk away. They just walk away on foot,
right,
to go see the mama. I was like, oh, you are so kidding me right now.
The only purpose that scene had was comedy. It was comedy. That was it. That's
I get it.
It's to give a little comedy relief.
I get it.
Now, I'll also say that plays into, and it's something that Hollywood does, and I'm not a fan of at all, but it plays into the dumb dad thing, the dumb dad routine. Because remember when they take off, Yelena says, we don't have enough fuel to get to Moscow. I think they were going to Moscow or whatever. And he's like, oh, there's plenty of fuel. Well, number one, how does he know there's plenty of fuel when he's not piloting the copter? He's not up there looking at the fuel gauge,
right?
You know. But they you know, it was just that whole thing. Oh, he's the dumb dad, and we'll make a joke out of it. That's something I wished Hollywood would drop. I get tired of it. Was it funny? Sure, it was funny, but... it's old. Stop it. It's time to stop that crap. Yeah.
Yeah. But. Well, it was just like when he was talking to her, when they got to the mom's place and everything, and she was like, didn't I just tell you I didn't want to talk to nobody? That's the reason why I came into the room and chill out by myself. And he just started singing when he realized that he couldn't get through to her because of how emotionally distraught she was. I was like, dude, stop. Leave her alone. She is sad right now. Let the girl breathe.
Well, I got to admit, there's been times when my daughter doesn't want to talk either, and I'll push it a little bit and try to talk with her. So, I don't know. Yours is still pretty young. You're not going through that yet.
God, she's only two. I'm just going to be like, Candy?
You're right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, wait till she's a teenager. Things are going to change. Yeah.
Everybody says that. I don't get it. Okay.
You will. And the bad thing is you're going to get it sooner than you think. That's the bad part.
That's funny.
So yeah, and then they start singing my Miss American Pie, which was really funny in the Russian accents, by the way.
Yeah.
I loved it. That was great. That was great. So, yeah, but I get what you're saying.
So,
that falls into the dad doesn't know anything type of thing, too. And, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish they'd go away.
Well,
from
his
that.
Prison break was pretty interesting.
I love the.
That was a very.
I love the Red Guardian doll or action figure that was sent to him, too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. And then also another dumb dad moment is when he was trying to have a heart to heart with Elena.
With
and he didn't have an earpiece.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you not know you don't have an earpiece in your ear? How do you not, you know?
Natasha.
Right.
He was trying to talk to Natasha, not Elena. He already had his heart to heart with Elena, but he was trying to talk to Natasha, and she wasn't having it. So it was just like, whatever.
Well, and he tried to do the same thing with Melina during the fight scene when they first come out of the prison, or well, not the prison, but when the two of them were in the holding cells, I guess you'd call it, whatever. And she was like, "I designed these, you know. How did you do that? Mm-hmm. Well, I designed them." Yeah. But when they come out and he gets ready to fight and he starts talking to her and she's already gone. And you had that moment of, crap.
Yeah, it was just he was definitely left out of the loop as far as like the planning or the just like the the continuation of what the mission is. It seemed like that was the same establishment him and Dracoff when they first got his character introduced. He was like, oh well, you know, I'm the Red Guardian. Let's get everything back going. And all of a sudden, you just wind up in prison. They never explain why he went back to prison or anything, but you know, you can tell him and that relationship with Dragoff, they dissipate. It's nowhere. It's not like how it used to be, where he wanted to continue to build on their industry. I thought that was pretty interesting too.
Yep.
Yeah. So he's definitely the all bronze, no brain character in the movie. To be honest.
Well, and he even says that when the family is having dinner. you know, he made the comment, hey, she was the brains and I was the brawn. He actually said that during their time together in the little house. So, yeah.
Yeah. Which is typical, you know, spy stuff. They always have somebody like a watcher or a guardian. And then the person who's doing all the infiltration, the espionage and everything in that nature, they'll have someone. It's like they have a you know, like a spy, like you have a sniper and a spotter type of deal. It's always like a pair, a duo. And that's what they were. And then the only thing that really made them somewhat, you know, blend into our culture and everything is to have like daughters and live in the suburbs. Right. Super cliche things we've seen in spy movies before. So I thought that was pretty wild. I did like the sequence. I mean, a lot of the sequence I wish they could keep out of the trailers, like the sequence between Elena and Natasha's fight scene. I wish they would have kept that out of the trailers. And also the dynamic of the Red Room going down, I wish they could have kept that out of the trailers because it would have probably been more impactful. When you see it and you see all the maneuvering and everything in that nature, I was like, this is all these bits and pieces flying, coming down, and nobody's getting hit.
Right. Right. And going into it, we knew the Red Room was going to get taken down because of what we saw in the trailer. Yeah. Yeah. What you're saying makes sense. That makes complete sense. Now I got a question. Do you think that we will see Red Guardian come back at any point? Do you think we'll get a moment where him and Cap? Well, no, I guess we can't, because Cap is dead now. I mean, we have
Cap went in the past. Oh no,
right. Well, yeah, but he. Well, I guess technically he's not dead yet. He's just really super old at this point, you know.
Yeah, he went in the past and came back as like old man Cap.
Right, so, as old man Cap. So yeah, I guess we won't ever get a moment of Red Guardian versus Captain America, which I would love to get that. I think that would
unless
be cool.
he pops up in a unless he pops up at a senior citizen or assisted living building, he'd be like, "Hey, you remember me?
Right?
Hey, we were a duo. I mean, not duo. We were nemesis back in the day." He was like, "Dude, I was frozen for 40 years. I don't know if he realized that, but the time that he was talking about Red Guardian, he was saying like how him, the Captain America, Captain was frozen at that time.
Well, that's
or at least he wasn't thawed out."
The one guy calls him out on it. The one guy calls him out on it. He goes, "Wait a minute, what year did you say that happened?" He goes, "No, Captain America was frozen in ice." And that's when he says, "Oh, so you're saying I'm lying?" Boom.
I thought that was pretty funny too. I was like, why is he telling all these stories of his glory days? And I'm like, that was probably when he was, you know, talked about, or when he had his moment of shining for the Soviets, when Cap was out of the loop from fighting Hydra, taking out Hydra and Red Skull. And they became,
I didn't take it that he was lying per se. I think he was boosting himself up. You know, I think he was boosting himself up. And I think he doesn't quite remember the years, you know, like, oh, this happened this year. No, it couldn't have happened that year, but it could have happened later on. I think he just doesn't remember exactly what time things happen and so on and so forth.
You don't want to seem like that. You would take down any big, you would take down the Hulk. Well, and people want to mess with him, like, oh man, I ain't gonna mess with that dude. Let me give him a pack of noodles or something like that.
Well, and that's why he was doing the whole arm wrestling thing and like breaking people's arms and stuff, you know. So I don't think it mattered what his stories were. I think a lot of people were afraid of him. And oh, that was another thing. He called that guy. He called him something bear. And actually, that's another Russian character.
Yeah.
Because like,
oh, he did.
Yeah, he called him something bear or something like that. And from what I understand, that the Russians actually had their version of the Avengers, and Red Bear or something was a part of that team, and he kind of used that name for that guy. So that was a little callback to the Russian version of the Avengers. So I thought
that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. So, okay, we're getting to the end of the episode here. So let's get to the end. Let's go ahead to the ending scene, the end credit scene. So the end credit scene, we have Yelena. She goes back to visit Black Widow's grave. Of course, I wonder, is Black Widow, is her body actually there, or did they bring her back, or is she just...
No, she's probably,
Or they just put a grave marker somewhere for people to go and...
Remember, that was one of the talking points. They say her actual mother was relentless, and right. She was trying to find her, so Dracov said he put her next to a tree with an unknown tombstone, with an unknown
there
name,
we go. Okay.
And a tombstone there. Yeah, so they did the same thing
for her. Okay, that makes sense. So, but then we get, so she comes up to visit her sister's grave, and, excuse me, we get Louis-Marie Dreyfus pops in.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what her character's name is, Louis-Marie Dreyfus, but, which she was pretty funny. I give her that. I also found out that scene was actually supposed to kick off the Falcon and Winter Soldier series, but since this got pushed back, that was actually supposed to be where her character was introduced, was here in the Black Widow, but then we actually got her introduction in the Falcon and Winter Soldier series. But anyway, what I don't understand is. So they're standing there, and she's like, you're not supposed to bother me on my day off, which I thought was funny. And then she's like, and I want a raise too. Yeah, well, we both want a raise. So, and you're about to earn your raise anyway. And then she says, here, you want to see your next target? It's the person who killed your sister. Kind of cute, isn't he? And it is Hawkeye. And now we know.
Ronan, actually, I think they're going after Ronan's character, because if you look at his hairstyle, he was referred to as Ronan, not Hawkeye. And this is after Civil War, so he's not Hawkeye anymore. He's Ronan. That was the guy that Natasha was talking about. Well, sorry. Wait a minute. This is after Endgame. Oh, never mind. He could be considered Hawkeye or Ronan at this particular point. It depends.
So wait a minute. Was Ronan who he was kind of in that alternate, after Thanos had snapped his fingers, his family was all gone. That's Ronan then?
That's Ronan, yeah.
Okay.
And then in Endgame, when they all came back to the present, I guess he can consider himself as Hawkeye. I guess he would consider himself as Hawkeye again, or continue with that whole Ronan persona. He was that whole assassin when he was going after, the Yakuza or whatever the leader was, and then Natasha couldn't stop him from trying to take out the bad guys who was trying to take, trying to rise up in the world because half of the population was gone, and they were trying to, do whatever. But that's Ronan's character. But I don't know if he actually came. He stuck with that same character narrative when the blip was reversed.
Okay, so we know from watching Endgame, though, that he did not kill Natasha, that Natasha sacrifices herself, because the two of them argue over, because he wants to sacrifice himself, and she's like, no, and then she ends up sacrificing herself instead. So we know he doesn't kill her. So the big question is, one, do they really think that Hawkeye killed Black Widow, or two, and when you said that about Ronan and everything, it made me think maybe this is a way of keeping, because obviously Yelena is going to become the next Black Widow. She is if they do another movie or if they do a TV series or whatever, she's going to be Black Widow now. So which could connect her with the Avengers, she could become the new Black Widow of the Avengers then. So is this their way of dividing the Avengers then, by saying that he killed Black Widow and, trying to put her after him and just to try and to divide the Avengers? Is that something that this scene could be setting up?
I would say, but then again, okay. So one of the things that this could be like the new Avengers type of deal,
right?
Where they're going to have all of the same characters from the old, I mean, with the old persona, but in newer, they're
right.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we'll have Falcon as the new Captain America.
Exactly.
We'd probably have Bucky return. Who'd be himself, of course. They didn't really hand down the Iron Man mantle, did they?
They tried to do that with Tom Holland's character. Remember, that was one of the things he Far From Home, when they say that, oh well, Tony wanted you to have all his tech and everything. They tried to hand it over to him.
Right.
But he ended up giving that to Mysterio. And I guess he figured that that's way too much responsibility in the end. So I guess Pepper took over for that. So technically she's rescue. So she will really do that. Or you got Megan, his daughter, who can take over the there Iron Man mantle as well.
That's probably
so
what
we'll
see happen.
So that was another one too.
Yeah, because I don't see, yeah. I mean, I love Pepper's character and all, but I don't see her mm-hmm. as the next quote unquote Iron Man. But his daughter, now that kind of makes sense. I could see that happening. So we might
They have like a couple of people that can do that, though. They have the kid from the third movie who can probably do that because he took over, he repowered the suit at one point.
That's
and he
true.
Was in Endgame at the very end of the movie. He was standing there because that was one of the guys that was there as well. So he could take over the suit if they really wanted to push it that
well,
way.
Well, and then the only other thing is if they have his daughter take over, they got to have a time jump because she's too young. So.
True. I mean, it's one of those things where they could have, like, you know, a development of their characters or try to figure out how they're going to be able to do that. But
right.
You can, what was that? Not Riri. Riri is, she's another one who kind of create her own variation of the Iron Man suit. And it has more of a different, if you watch the new Avengers and stuff like that, the new Marvel Avengers, they have a lot of what the characters are
okay.
with the same persona as like how they are in the MCU right now, as far as the Avengers.
Right.
Now, you don't get a Hulk character, but then again, you will get some of the, how they started to make the replicas of, like, you know, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Iron Man and everything. It's there. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But going back to the narrative of, do you think Hawkeye is going to be public enemy number one because he killed Natasha? First of all, how do they know if he was the one that killed her?
Right.
And two, that's probably just a contract so they can just basically take him out because he's the one that's taken out all the other criminal overlords and stuff like that, like how he was when he was Ronin. So
right.
That's why they probably sick, you know, putting
well,
her on his trail.
And he's getting a TV series too, right?
Yeah.
So this is kicking off his TV series. So, and mm-hmm. it's giving him an adversary in the television series then. But I just don't understand why. Yeah, I don't get why they think that he's the one who killed Black Widow, because obviously we know that Black Widow wasn't killed. She sacrificed herself. So I don't know. I don't know if they actually think he killed her or if this is just a way of putting Yelena against him. There's part.
I think it's probably the last.
That's what I think too. I think it's just a way of putting her against him, and so it gives him a good adversary in the TV series. And then maybe something like halfway through the season, you know, she'll find out no, he didn't really kill her, and then they'll probably team up and go after a bigger enemy at that point. So.
I was thinking that same exact thing. Maybe they have like their head to head, and all of a sudden he's going to be like, you know, how he have like, oh yeah, me and your sister, we have these moments where we have like a thing in Budapest. It could be one of those things. Yeah.
They had their moments, all right.
Ronan wanted to throw himself. Oh, right.
There were times I think he was kind of cheating on his wife a little with her.
Yeah, no, it was kind of like when they have their moments, him and Natasha, but I think it was really all professional to that degree. They just had like a real deep connection. And I don't think it was like as serious or as awkward as how it was with Natasha and Bruce Banner's character. I thought that was like Mark Ruffalo, Bruce Banner. That was like the most awkward combination that they could put together. Now, yeah, or you can try to see what she was trying to make her way with Cap, but Cap was, he was like, nah, you're way too much for me. I can't, yeah, I don't think that we could be on that same scale. But with her and Hawkeye, I never really got that sense. I thought they were just like really.
You didn't
good,
feel
you know,
like there was any kind of
people to go to guess.
You didn't feel like there was anything romantic or physical between the two of them. I don't know. There was moments that I was like, I don't know.
No, even she met the family and everything.
Yeah.
That'd have been pretty awkward when the mom.
You know what? The mistresses sometimes do meet the families.
His daughter.
Sometimes the mistresses do meet the families, dude. Sometimes the mistresses are close to the families.
So,
I'm just saying it, there were moments. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I think they're doing a horizontal mambo.
That's crazy. But that's kind of bad too, because the mistress that close and all of a sudden the mom is just like, hey, how's it going? I'm gonna name my daughter after you. That, oh my goodness, the family dynamics of that whole just coming up, that's just way too, all right, anyway. So the movie was great. The movie was great. I do love her character. I don't think they put a lot of emphasis in her suit, by the way. Like, she has the, notice her suit was red, more so like how I think it has, like, a, I guess a more of a bluer undertone. Maybe
yeah.
That's because of the shield aspect versus the,
that could be.
Just her standalone.
Right. That could
yeah,
be.
But it was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, overall, I liked the film a lot. I think I stick with my 3.5 stars, mm-hmm. or 3.5 widow's bites. I really enjoyed the action. I thought the action was great. I always liked the Black Widow character. I've liked her all through the Marvel MCU. I liked the family dynamic, even though they're Russian sleeper cells. Yeah,
Russia's not so bad.
Yeah. Yes, that hurts my American pride a little bit, but you know, I like that they were a dysfunctional family that came together and still worked as a family unit. So I enjoy that aspect of it, and I really like Yelena. I think she's going to be a fantastic Black Widow coming up in the future, and I can't wait to see what she has to bring to it. I also can't wait to see if she does one of her sister's fighter poses, since she made a big deal out of her posing and everything.
Yeah, you know, I love seeing Elsa, a live action version of Elsa and Anna's character. It was pretty neat. I like that. That's what I got from this movie. It was literally a live action version of Frozen. If you think about it, red hair.
okay.
I'm sorry. The white hair is that's Elena.
Yeah.
And Anna is the red hair. Yeah. I totally dig it.
That at the beginning of the episode, I meant to come back to it. I forgot all about it because I was like, wait a minute. How does he get frozen out of this? We got to go back to that. And then I forgot about it. So I'm glad you brought that back up. That's awesome.
Yes, live action version of Frozen. I still retain my 3.
Okay.
Widow's Peak. I'm sorry, Widow's Bite, rather.
Widow's Peak.
I was like, Widow's Bite. I don't like that one. Widow's Peak. There we go. It's Widow's Bite. So I will say it's still a 3 out of 5 for me.
Awesome.
So yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're getting a little slap happy, so maybe it's time to end this episode. All right. Well,
all righty, sir.
Thanks, Theron, for sitting in, for Steven missing out on this one. I think Steven's going to listen back to this episode and wish he was here. So
he's definitely going to enjoy it. He's going to have a laugh or two.
I hope so. All right. And more importantly, I hope our listeners enjoy it. That's the most important thing. So, with that said, remember to go visit us at our our webpage, which is two, as in the number two, geeks, G-E-E-K-S, Mike, M-I-C.com. That's our hub to everything. You can get to our Facebook page. You can get to our Twitter page. You can get to our YouTube page. And you can get to our Ko-fi page. Remember to subscribe to us on Ko-fi. It's $2, buys us a coffee, and we have videos to most of our episodes on there, and that's the only place our videos are available. So $2 gets you in. And you can visit our merch page and pick up a Two Geeks coffee mug and drink a coffee while we're having the virtual coffee table like we just did here. All right, with that said, thank you, Theron. We'll see you next time.
And, no problem, sir.
And to everybody else, over and out, and may the force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the force be with you.